Danway FM presents
Welcome back to China Business Cast, brought to you by Danway FM. I'm your host, Robert Ness. Today I'm talking with Bill Bishop, CEO of Red Mushroom, about his company's virtual gaming world, Bao Bao Bung Bung. Bill, before we talk about your company's game, can you tell me a little bit about your background?
Sure, Robert. Thanks for having me on the show. I have been out of China since 1989. I actually studied Chinese in college in 1986, and then spent about 10 years in the U.S. and California building an internet company called CBS MarketWatch as one of the co-founders, and moved back to Beijing the beginning of 2005 and got involved with Red Mushroom.
Now, how does that work? How does the transition from CBS MarketWatch, you know, got a big news-centered online media, got acquired by Dow Jones, and then you kind of transitioned into building virtual worlds?
Well, I like media. I like online digital media. When we were selling the company to Dow Jones at the end of 2004, it was a perfect time to transition out of the company, and I'd frankly been looking for a reason to get back to China. Having spent a lot of my life painfully trying to study and learn Chinese, which, as anyone who's tried knows, is pretty difficult. And a friend of mine had started Red Mushroom as his second company after doing one of the first game companies in China, and it just seemed like a good opportunity to come back to China and get involved in this industry.
Okay, so talk about Bao Bao Bung Bung. What is it?
Bao Bao Bung Bung is a virtual world for kids, specifically for Chinese kids, age 8 to 10 and up. And we started building this world last summer, so the summer of 2006, because we had previously built a game targeted at the hardcore gamers in China, and it was not that successful. We decided we wanted to target a market that seemed a little less crowded than the market that 150 Chinese studios were going after. We didn't know at the time that it was going to become the incredibly hot market it is in the U.S., where you have games like Club Penguin and Webkinz, which have hundreds of thousands of users. And in the case of Club Penguin, Disney bought for approximately $350 million a few months ago. But in general, we're going after the exact same market, but for the Chinese market, for Chinese kids.
Hmm. Now, talk a bit about the game that you did before, or specifically, what initially made you change your mind about that market and focus more on this more niche area?
Well, we built a 3D massively multiplayer online role-playing game, or MMORPG, in the World of Warcraft genre. We had a team. We spent over 2 years building it here, and it was a first-generation game for us. It was one of the first locally developed or Chinese-developed 3D games, and it just wasn't up to speed in terms of the overall, product, sort of what it was out there in the marketplace compared with, say, World of Warcraft. And when we decided to move on, we realized that we had, we could go back into the same market and sort of keep banging your head against the wall that lots of better funded, larger, and more experienced development teams were doing, or we could go do something newer that we thought had some real potential, but that maybe gave us some breathing space to figure out some of the challenges.
Now, with this market, what difficulties have you run into in developing this platform or trying to sell this platform, especially in comparison to the counterparts in America?
I think here, one of the challenges always is there are some regulatory issues that maybe don't exist in the U.S. or are different. In this case, we had to actually go ahead and get our operator license. So we've gone ahead and our local Chinese affiliate has received its game operation license from the Ministry of Culture. In terms of marketing the product, there best we can tell, and according to Chinese statistics, there are about 20 million Chinese kids in middle school and elementary school who regularly use the internet. However, there are not any super concentrated online vehicles that let us target those users. So we've been working on our marketing plan and trying to figure out how to best reach our target audience through what is apparently or what seems to be a very fractured marketplace or distribution channel. I think that in terms of one of the other big challenges for us is the user behavior, because everyone knows the Chinese kids, yes, they're under a lot of pressure. They have lots of homework. They all go to like the Bushiban and they do all sorts of extracurricular studying. And so everyone says, oh, they don't have any time to go online. However, if you look at these stats, they're online. If you talk to individuals and individual parents, they're online. And so one of the challenges we've had is we had to actually believe that this market was there. We do. We believe it's growing. The next step for us, though, is going to be, you know, we have two people we have to convince to play this game or to go into our world. One is you have to convince the kids that it's fun, it's cool, it's worth their time. Two, you have to convince the parents that it's safe, it's clean, it's got some educational value, their kids should spend time in there. And so that, those are the two. Basically, for us, if you look at your typical game, you got to convince one person to play the game. For us, we actually have to figure out how to convince two people.
That the second one there, the convincing the parent, that sounds like an uphill battle to me, because every parent I've ever talked to in China, they're dead set against having their kids become one of those guys that spend all their days and nights in the internet bars playing virtual games.
Well, exactly. And so I think, first of all, we have no interest in having our product appear in an internet cafe. We are doing no cafe marketing. It's not our market. Our market is, you know, we want to be, you know, on home computers, homes with DSL, and to the extent that we can work with schools, we want to be working with schools and maybe be in their computer labs. If you look at our product, you know, we have it's a what's considered a in China a quote unquote green game. You know, there's no sex, there's no violence. We're compliant with the fatigue system that was put in place earlier this year. We have within our it's a virtual world platform. So you go in, you raise a pet, you raise it, you feed it. You have a room that you decorate. You have friends. You invite them over. You go play, do stuff with them, like go to a disco or go to a park. You can play games with them. You can play games on your own. The games, several of the games we have in there are actually educational games. So, for example, we test your knowledge of Tang poetry. We test your English vocabulary, and it's based on the curriculum that the kids would be using, the age-appropriate curriculum. We test, for example, your Olympics knowledge. So, you know, we have a whole new set of quizzes in there about, well, gee, you know, in the 19 whatever Olympic Games, how many gold medals were won by, you know, which kind of, by pick a country. So our approach for the parents is, look, your kids are online. You know they're online. We all know they're online. Don't you want to be playing something that's fun and clean and safe as opposed to going on QQ and talking to whoever they may be talking to or going into World of Warcraft or going to one of these games that, while our good products are not at all age appropriate.
Can in this game, can children interact with other children? And if that were the case, wouldn't it terrify parents to know that their children are interacting with complete strangers, whether or not they're children?
Yes, the children can. It is a multiplayer environment, so kids can chat with people, players or users can chat with other users in the game. They can go play games and they can go to the park together. It's a problem that, you know, kids anywhere in the world face. In China, they face it if they use QQ or are on any of these online platforms. In the U.S., you have it with, you know, Club Penguin or Webkinz or any of these kids' worlds. And a lot of it comes down to making sure that, you know, we have in-game or in-world monitors. You know, we make it easy for users to report inappropriate comments or inappropriate behavior. And then we have to work with the parents and the children to educate them on stuff that they, you know, shouldn't be talking about. But at the end of the day, like anything on the internet, you certainly can be communicating with, you know, someone else who is not who you think or who they tell you they are.
I don't want to end on that note. Let me ask, is the business model the same as World of Warcraft? In other words, just monthly or prepaid subscriptions?
It's what we're calling a free-to-play world with a couple of twists. Free-to-play means that you can go into the world, you can do all the basic stuff, it's totally free, there's no charge to, you know, actually access the world. We do sell certain items and services, so for example, for your room, if you want to get a nice bed, you go play some games or do some stuff in the world and you get the in-game currency and you can buy that bed. But if you want the really, really fancy bed, you have to actually put some money in the game using, say, a prepaid card, and then you can buy the really quote-unquote fancy stuff. The other way, though, is we are actually we're just pushing out our first run of stuffed animals, and so we'll be able to buy, like, say, for example, a stuffed horse or a stuffed dragon, that comes with a little code that you input into the world, and that will unlock certain things in the world, be it a new kind of pet or a special room or a special sort of power for your creature. So that we're trying to basically, we'll sell you the cards that allow you to put money in the game, but we're also trying to, you know, sell other stuff that maybe make it more interesting for people to want to try the game. And then the next aspect is eventually when we reach a critical mass, we are a very advertising-friendly environment. Because if you look at the amount of money that's spent trying to reach Chinese kids, if you look at the amount of money that's spent on TV and the kids' programming, there's a lot of advertiser and product interest to reach this audience. And so if we have a critical mass, we're certainly going to be willing to take advertising. That said, you know, my partner and I, we both have small children. I used to run the advertising business at MarketWatch. We will be very focused on making sure that it's very appropriate and non-invasive advertising that, one, doesn't completely overrun the virtual world, but two, you know, also makes sure that we're putting appropriate stuff in the world for that our audience base.
Okay, thank you very much, Bill Bishop. Where can our audience go if they want to learn more about Bao Bao Bung Bung?
All right, if you want to learn more about Bao Bao Bung Bung, please go to our website. The URL is www.bb-bb.cn, no.com, just .cn. Welcome you. It's all in Chinese right now, but if you speak Chinese or want to learn Chinese, it might be, or learn Tong poetry, it might be a great way to come in and check it out.
Thanks very much, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Take care.